Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast brought to you by SeatGeek. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm rolling solo. Everybody's got the post-election blues. I'm here. The Clippers dominate in this one, 111-80. They led by as much as 48 points. 48 points against the Portland Trail Blazers. 111-80 is your final. Man, the Clippers might be really good, you guys. You know, I could see them coming out of the gates hot, and I thought Blake Griffin was going to have a great start to the year and kind of had a chip on his shoulder and something to prove after last year. And I thought the Clippers were going to come out of the gates pretty hot. I in no way saw this level of dominance coming. And I don't think anyone really did. The Clippers are far and away the best defensive team in the league right now. It's not even close. Clippers are far and away the best team in the league right now. And it's not even close. Golden State is taking their lumps early on. Cleveland looks great, but the way that the Clippers are defending, man, no one is playing better basketball right now. They blew out San Antonio in San Antonio. They blow out Detroit, who's a playoff team. They blow out Portland, who's a playoff team, and this is supposed to be a rivalry game now. You would think that Portland would gear up to get some revenge after opening night. You know, there's some bad blood there. You would think they would gear up to play, and the Clippers up by 48 at one point. They're up 20 after the first quarter. I mean, these games aren't even close. I'm going to go over a little later in the show what's different, what's changed from last year, what's changed from prior years in this era, why the defense is playing the way they are, why they're getting these results, what's behind it. But man, I think you just have to take a second and realize that the Clippers are stomping playoff teams in the first half of games, and it's not even close. These guys don't even have to sniff the fourth quarter. The only reason they're playing in the third quarter is because the bench can't play for a full straight 24 minutes. Blake Griffin played 26 minutes tonight and had 22 points and 13 rebounds, 5 assists in 26 minutes. I mean, it's absurd how well the Clippers are playing right now. Again, I don't think anyone really saw this coming from the Clippers. And even through the first 5, 6, 7 games, there were concerns about sample size and, you know, would they be able to keep this up? I think that's falling by the wayside now. 8 games is a pretty substantial chunk of the season. And you can just look at the team, and I realize I'm kind of late to this, but you can just look and see that things have changed. That the mindset has changed, that there's just moments even... Okay, so let me explain. Let me backtrack a little bit. There's moments all throughout all these games which you think are throwaway moments because the Clippers are up 30. But they mean so much to what's happening right now defensively for the Clippers. So, Clippers are up 30. DeAndre Jordan's barking out instructions on the back line. The Blazers somehow score. They hit a jumper, whatever. And everyone is pissed off. And Dan Wojcicki had a great article about this, how even when the Clippers are letting up points, meaningless points, towards the end of the game, guys are pissed off about it. It's almost like the way it looks like the Clippers aren't playing their opponents anymore. They're just trying to best themselves every night. They're playing against themselves. It's like they're playing pinball and trying to get a high score. Like, that's a terrible analogy, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's the opponent doesn't matter right now. It can be a playoff team. It could be, you know, a lottery team. Clippers are coming out and they are upset every time an opponent scores. And it's like a personal challenge to everyone on the team right now to get stops, because this is the identity that they wanted to adopt. They have taken on this identity as a defensive team. And so now it's at the point where every possession matters. Is it hard to keep that up through an 82-game season? And will there be some eventual collapses on the road? Sure. But the fact is, the Clippers haven't been this locked in across the board ever. We've never seen a Clippers team that's been this locked in defensively, this consistently, ever. And it means something. Even if you take the small sample size qualifications, even if you think, okay, some of these teams haven't had their best players. Like, maybe Detroit didn't have Reggie Jackson, and that's why they lost by 40 points. I'm not buying that. I think I've started to come around on, you can just tell it's different. You can just tell it's different. It took me a little bit, because the analytical side of me wanted to be like, we need to see this stretch out for a longer period of time. But there's sometimes in basketball, man, where you can just look and see and realize that things have changed and that this team is just completely locked in. We're going to go over more of that and kind of what's different from this year, from last year, and why the defense is so much better this year than it was in prior years. We're going to go over that in a little bit. But for right now, I need to tell you about SeatGeek, our sponsor. The NBA season is back. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this year. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for the weekend or any game this season. It's pretty awesome, man. If you're sitting around at 1 o'clock at work, pull up your phone, see if there's good tickets on sale for a game coming up. There's always some great deals on SeatGeek. If you're flexible with where you want to sit to, man, you can really get some steals of deals with SeatGeek. You always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's all you have to do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOCLIPPERS. That's LOCLIPPERS. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. So since I'm riding solo tonight, it's a good time to get some of your questions on Twitter. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I am at Fox Sports Foster. You can find me there. I'm always taking questions for the show. Feel free to drop them there anytime. Love hearing your guys' feedback. I got some great ideas from you guys for show ideas moving forward. Next time there's a close game, I'm going to hop on with Andrew and we're just going to record a podcast during the end of the fourth quarter, just kind of giving our takes as it comes around playing, I guess, super sideline coaching. What's that called? Monday morning quarterback? No. What am I looking for here? Oh, there's a phrase for it. You're probably shouting it at me. I'm going to let it go. Sometimes you just got to let stuff go. But yeah, you guys are giving me some great ideas on Twitter, so thank you for that. Again, it's at Fox Sports Foster if you want to be a part of the show. Just drop your question there. I had a question during the game that asked, what's different about the defense this year that's making it so much better? That was from at that guy frog. Great question. And it's one that I think all of us have kind of been pondering what the big difference is defensively. And it's not like the Clippers are doing anything really differently, from a schematic standpoint, at least from what I can tell. They're defending pick and rolls a very similar way to as they did last year. It's not like there's these drastic changes in their doubling or doing anything crazy. It's pretty similar to what we've seen. I think the big difference, for me anyway, is that Blake Griffin is a way better defender this year than he ever has been. And I think part of that is a sense of urgency, and he's not really holding back. He's not pacing himself as much as he has in prior years. He's more willing to go 100% full out. And I think you've seen that as a whole team in general has kind of adopted that. And it's why they're getting up big in these games and they can rest in fourth quarters. Because they're just not messing around. It's a no-nonsense kind of defensive mentality where they've decided that they want to be a nightmare to play against. Clippers have always been a difficult matchup for just about everyone. But they haven't always made it hard on opponents. They haven't always enforced kind of their will. They haven't made every game like scoring is going to take maximum effort against us. If you don't bring your A game, we're going to rush you out of the building. And we saw that with Detroit, and we saw that with Portland. If you're not fully engaged, guess what? We're going to be, and our effort is going to be there, and we're going to blow you out of games. And I think that's the other big difference for me. Blake's better. He's been more aggressive. He's been a bigger presence. He's exerting more energy. But the effort across the board has been there. I think, too, you can look at the continuity. A lot of people kind of scoffed at the Clippers kind of bringing the band back together, right? Of bringing together a team that didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals, putting them all back together again and just kind of rolling it back. A lot of people didn't think that was a very good idea. But we're seeing that they're is this increased continuity, especially with the starters, where these guys are comfortable with each other now. They're playing big minutes with each other. They've had time to gel. They kind of know where everyone's going to be and what their tendencies are and what their weak spots are. And that's why when you see these teams put together like Golden State, Golden State's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. But we're seeing it in Boston with some new pieces coming in, some injuries, and you know, you look at these teams around the league, when they add major pieces, it takes time. It takes time to learn how to play with each other. The Clippers haven't had to go through that waiting period because they're all comfortable with each other and really not a whole lot has changed. And the fact that the new guys they brought in were veterans with clear, defined skill sets and roles kind of made the transition easier for everyone, including the bench. Mo Spates, is he perfect? Certainly not. He's a little flawed, but you know exactly what Mo Spates is the second you see him walk on a basketball court and he touches the basketball. Like, there's no question to what Mo Spates is. And so it's not, no one has really had to try and find their role and bounce back between being something that they're not and something that they wish they were. And there's no identity crisis. That wasn't always the case for the Clippers. When they first got together in those first couple of years together, yeah, they were fun. And they can get up and down. And they, you know, they were the Lob City Clippers. But there were still a bunch of guys who were just trying to figure out how to fit in with everyone. And it makes so much sense to me that the continuity of this roster is leading to better performances defensively than we've ever seen. And I kind of wish that I saw it earlier this offseason, and I think I got a little bit too caught up into the bench and some, let's face it, some guys who have been deemed sort of unsavory defenders throughout their careers. But I wish I would have realized that by not having any young guys, by having a full, like, veteran team of guys that have played with each other and who know Doc's system, that there wasn't going to be that learning process that we've seen in past years, as recently as, 2 years ago. Even last year, there was some of that. So, really, I think those are the big factors. Blake's playing better. The effort across the board is better. There's more continuity. And then lastly, not to bore you to death here, but lastly, I think with teams going smaller across the league, it actually plays right into the Clippers' hands. DeAndre and Blake can hang out on the perimeter just fine. They can harass ball handlers on the pick and roll, and they can recover. There was a couple times tonight where Damian Lillard got a high screen. He turned the corner. Okay, great. Good for you. DeAndre Jordan is sprinting to the rim to meet you there and just gobbling up anything and making what looks like an open drive to the rim turn into an incredibly contested layup. And it's just little things like that. You want to spread out the floor against the Clippers? That's fine. Defensively, they're built and equipped to handle that just fine. And with Luke Richard and Mbah Moute, Andrew Hahn's favorite basketball player ever, future Hall of Famer, Luke Richard and Mbah Moute, with the way he's defending and how they can sick him on the best player of the opposing team, basically. And you can put it, we saw him on Damian Lillard tonight. It just, now you have multiple plus defenders. Blake is slowly turning into a plus defender. JJ Redick is very intelligent and knows how to stay in front of people. It's like, I believe it was Stan Van Gundy. It's like Stan Van Gundy said. Yeah, it was Stan Van Gundy. There's no reason why the Clippers shouldn't be a great defensive team with that starting lineup. All five of those guys can be great defenders. Chris and DeAndre are elite defenders at their position. Probably the best at their position. I'd say Chris Paul is the best defensive point guard in the league, easily. And DeAndre, who are you going to take over him right now defensively? Maybe Rudy Gobert? Probably not. Marc Gasol doesn't look the same. I mean, DeAndre is the best defensive center in the league. So you got your one and your five are the two best defenders in the league at their respective positions, and then plus defenders around them. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense why they're so much better this year than they were. And again, I think it's an identity thing. I think this is who they want to be. They want to be a team that comes out and gets stops and is miserable to try and score against. And you can see they've embraced it fully. All right, next question comes from John Flores. He asks, what little things have the Clippers been doing this year to improve their team D? Kind of went over that a little bit. I think schematically, again, it's pretty similar, but it's a mindset now. But he also asks, how is the second unit offense so effective? Which I think is a really good question. You heard all preseason Doc talk about playing downhill with those three guards in the second unit, Ray Felton, Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford. He wants those guys to attack their man, and then we're playing drive and kick basketball after that. Clippers bench has done a really good job about that. Even if they've had some poor shooting nights now and then, each player has kind of been off a little bit at times. There's enough weapons to survive that. The Clippers last year, they couldn't survive too many 1-for-9 nights from Jamal Crawford. If Jamal didn't have it going, the bench most likely didn't have it going. And that's just kind of the way it's always been. It's not the same anymore. Jamal can kind of play. He's a much better passer than he gets credit for. He's a guy who doesn't have to force as much action anymore, because now a simple pick and pop and Mo Spates is sitting at the top of the key ready to fire. Or Austin Rivers, you can swing to him and he's looking to attack and again play downhill and get to the rim and finish, where he's been pretty good this year actually. So offensively, now the floor is completely spread. You got guys who can attack off the dribble, and you have the ultimate bailout option in a 7-foot center who likes to shoot from 27 feet away from the rim. It sounds simple, and maybe I'm making it overly simplistic, but there's just more threats this year, and the floor spacing's better. I think that's what the biggest differences for the second unit are so far this season. So good question, John. Dylan Rice-Leary, our guy, asks, what's your take on the blowouts? Is it a philosophical shift from the saving it till the postseason we've seen before? Excellent question. I think it absolutely is. I think the way we've seen the Clippers come out in every game and look to punch people in the mouth, and just no one is really matching their energy and effort level right now, it makes me think that the Clippers want to send a message to the league. And I don't, maybe I'm way off on this, but part of me thinks that, like, maybe I'm just old. Part of me thinks we're going all the way back to 2004 and the Clippers, like, saw something. I would love if this was true. If the Clippers looked at 2004 and remembered that Detroit Pistons team that was so dominant defensively, it was one of the best defensive teams ever, and they beat the super team assembled of future Hall of Famers, the Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe, Shaq, that they beat that team with defense. How do you beat a super team? Maybe that's what they looked at this offseason. How do you beat a super team? And they looked at the teams that have done it before in the past, and they did it with crazy defense. With this, each guy moving on a string, each guy knowing exactly what the other's doing, and that the sum of the whole is greater than the individual parts. So yeah, I do think we have seen a little bit of a philosophical shift, and we've seen and heard players kind of hint at that. For as much as I made fun of Andrew on the last podcast, Andrew Hahn came on and talked about how he discussed with J.J. Redick how there's been a change in identity. There really has. There really has. There hasn't been as much conservation of energy this season. There really just hasn't. Everybody's going full out. They're getting up big, and then they rest. And like I said before, it's almost like they're playing against themselves now. Which is great. Which is great. Good question from Dylan. Let's see, what else do we got here? That's about it. Ron asks, Golden State was doing this last season and said that they peaked too early. Is that a concern for the Clippers? I don't think so. I think if it comes to the point where guys are getting tired and playing through injuries later in the season in the chase, the pursuit of something, then you can be concerned. But we're so early in it that I think the Clippers are fine setting this standard and just kind of creating this thing where now they know this, they can play at this level, and they're seeing that, hey, maybe it doesn't take that much more. Like, this, maybe this isn't causing as much strain as they maybe thought it would in the past, if that makes any sense. You really don't know how far you can push your limits until you do it, right? So I think the Clippers coming out and going full bore right out of the gates as hard as they possibly can and seeing how long they can keep that up for is a good thing to do. You got to push your limits. And I think that's been kind of our biggest complaint of the Clippers over the last few years in the regular season, is that it would be a couple good performances and then a couple of nights off where The guys are kind of a little bit checked out, and they're just kind of slogging through games. Why not come out and just send a message and try and lock up home court advantage as quickly as possible so you can rest going into the playoffs? Wouldn't it be great if the Clippers did do this early and, yeah, maybe peak a little bit too early, but then the last week of the season they can just kind of rest and keep everyone healthy and wrap Blake Griffin in bubble wrap and away we go? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Thank you guys for listening to the show. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you to our sponsor, SeatGeek. If you have questions for the show, again, you can follow me on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. You can also email me at FosterDJ3@gmail.com. Love to hear your guys' feedback. Please continue to rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to this podcast. We appreciate the ratings. Also, tell a friend. Word of mouth is the greatest way to help out this podcast. If you got a Clippers fan in your life, tip them off to the podcast, man. We would love that. So thank you guys for listening to the show. We will be back tomorrow. We'll actually have a little special reunion with a former Clippers writer who has moved elsewhere. So look out for that. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your day.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.